Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode of the Raptors Everything Podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. So make sure you're never missing buckets. Order yours online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors 133-118 loss to the Denver Nuggets. Look, man, people are freaking out a little bit. Raptors lost three straight. You can kind of understand the Bucks loss. You can understand this loss too. And of course, in between that, there was kind of a very strange game where they lost to the Charlotte Hornets. But you got to give the Hornets actually a little bit of credit. I watched a little bit of that game they had against the Milwaukee Bucks. And first off, they held Milwaukee under 100 points and were actually okay. So clearly, whatever the Hornets are doing right now, it's working a little bit. But this game, I don't know. I wasn't that frustrated by it because I kind of accepted the fact that this was going to be a very, very difficult game. Not that the Raptors couldn't win it, but the result was always heavily tilted towards the Nuggets. I couldn't believe the Nuggets were only favored by 3 points heading into this game. I don't bet on sports, but, you know, if I did, I would have put a lot of money on the Nuggets Sunday, only in the sense that there's a couple factors going their way. So, first off, the Raptors are going on the road. You know, playing in Denver in the altitude, never easy. The Raptors are a good road team, but, you know, the Nuggets are just, have always been, like, historically speaking, an excellent home team. You know, two, the Nuggets just got waxed by the Los Angeles Clippers. And after that game, their head coach, Mike Malone, came out and called out the Nuggets for being soft. And so you knew they were going to come out. You knew they're going to respond. You knew they're going to have a very determined and strong-willed effort. And that's what we saw today. And then three, this game was freaking impossible because the Raptors were going up against one of the best centers in the NBA, if not the best center in the NBA right now, Nikola Jokic. And they were doing that without a single viable center on the roster. Look, man, I'm sorry, Chris Boucher. Like, you know, it's cool. He's had a couple of moments this year, but, like, let's be real. That's not a real center, all right? We're talking about Nikola Jokic, who, honestly, he's amazing. Like, he's amazing. He played amazing tonight. And you don't have Serge Ibaka, who continues to be out with knee soreness. You don't have Marc Gasol, who has pretty much missed half the year with a hamstring issue. It's really worrisome at this point. And, of course, you don't even have Fred VanVleet, who, you know, whatever, it's not the biggest deal that you don't have Fred VanVleet, but still, he's actually one of the best in the league in terms of that, in the point guard position, in terms of guys who can dig down in the post and sort of bother a guy. Maybe it doesn't really apply to Jokic because he's so savvy, but still, you know, Fred VanVleet is actually pretty important to the defense. And so when you don't have a viable center on the floor and you're throwing out there Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, look, man, there's levels to this, all right? Rondae did a great job against Karl-Anthony Towns. That's Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns and Nikola Jokic on two different levels, all right? Nikola Jokic is savvy. He doesn't panic. He plays defense, you know, even though he's not necessarily the great defender, but he plays more defense than Kat, and he's just more physical. Like, he must have, like, 30 pounds on Kat. And the way Rondae was able to sort of front and stand up to Kat, like, that doesn't exist. That doesn't happen with Jokic. Jokic is just too big of a load to handle. And so there was just a huge problem right from the get-go, in the sense that the Raptors couldn't really guard the post. Jokic is a big, big problem down there. And the thing is, the Raptors have done a really good job this season of sending two bodies at the number one option on the other side and stopping the team's best player. We've seen it against pretty much everybody, you know, whoever. Dame Lillard, LeBron, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, whoever. Giannis, we just saw it, right? They did a pretty good job, you know, limiting those guys and holding them to a below average game. The thing is, you can't really do that with Jokic. You just can't. Because if you double him, he is one of the best passers in the NBA. Not even just for his position. No, screw that. Like, for any player in the NBA, Jokic is one of the best passers. We saw a number of just gorgeous dimes. Cross-court passes, you know, full-court passes where he collects a rebound on one hand, flings it to the other side of the floor. And so when the Raptors double teamed, and the, you know, they usually use their swarming defense, especially they swarmed, obviously, because they had a 6'5" guy guarding him in the post. When they swarmed and collapsed the paint, Jokic just picked them apart with their passing. And it didn't help that, look, you're basically gambling defensively that you're going to take Jokic out of the game and take away the paint and hope that the Nuggets have a below average night from three. That did not happen. It was not happening from the jump. The Nuggets opened the game shooting 9 of 9 from the three-point line. Look, of course, some of those were open. The Raptors were definitely swarming the paint, and they were not getting out there. And defensively, they did not come to play in the first half. Having said that, 9 for 9 to start, and they finished the game shooting 50%, 18 of 36, and that just wasn't enough. Like, the Raptors, they needed the Nuggets to have a cold night from three. They were going to have any chance to steal this one. It didn't happen. And so what the end result is that the Raptors had one of their worst defensive performances of the season. Some of that is systematic. Some of that is just, you know, a reflection of the personnel. And some of that is the fact that, look, the Raptors just didn't, you know, have the same intensity as they normally would. But at the same time, the Nuggets, you got to give them full credit. They played really well. From the Raptors' perspective, I mean, the number one story should be OG Anunoby. And I, you know, that is a very, very encouraging development. And if you want to look at just OG's performance, this is incredibly promising for the long-term prospects of the Raptors because it really opens your eyes. But I'm going to talk a lot about OG in just a second. But really, to me, the story of the game still is Pascal Siakam, who, you know, this was not a good night for Pascal. This is one of those nights where he's banging his head and, you know, he's trying to throw whatever he can, but he's just struggling. He's running in mud. And quite honestly, he's had a couple games this year against top-tier competition where Pascal hasn't necessarily been as effective. Now, granted, look, whatever, man. The top teams are the top teams for a reason. They guard, they defend. They're not easy to, it's not easy to just go up against number one, you know, or, you know, just great defenses and do your thing. But at the same time, Pascal was really going through it tonight, man. 6 of 21 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3, only got to the free throw line for 4 times, had 4 turnovers, minus 13. And it's just, when you watch this game, he was just kind of beat up. And it kind of really just exposes the limitations that are in Pascal's game right now. And, you know, I'm going to be negative first, and then I'm going to go to the positives, because I swear there will be some positives from this. But in terms of the, you know, in terms of limitations, teams are kind of figuring it out right now. Pascal's jump shot is not at the point where you need to overreact to it. If he hits a couple of threes, whatever. But for the most part, they're going to sag back. They're going to collapse the paint. They're going to go under the screens, and they're really going to send a second defender to swarm in the post if he gets even close. They're going to be really physical with him. They're going to limit his transition opportunities. To be honest, he has so many defensive responsibilities with everyone out right now that there's not even that many transition opportunities for him. He needs to be back there challenging a lot of shots. And yeah, it's just, it's difficult, man. Like, you know, you watch it today. Pascal and Jokic are both players that operate out of the post. But there's just levels, man. There's levels. Like, Pascal, he got into the post. The double came. He was struggled to find the guy. He did have 5 assists on the night. 2 of those were just kickout threes to OG, whatever. But, you know, it wasn't like Pascal was terrible at passing the ball. It's just a different level between what Pascal can provide out of the post in terms of passing as compared to what Jokic can provide. And Jokic can have the little, you know, sweet jumper where he sort of like just stands up and loops the jumper over the shoulder defender usually. You know, Jokic can have that strength to sort of get to, you know, down low on the block and really take his position and have go up, you know, without his shot being affected. Pascal nowadays, we've seen it. Teams are becoming really, really physical with him. And unless the foul call comes, and basically he's not really looking for the foul call. Like, he's not really pump faking and then jumping into contact. He did that once today. He got the foul call. But for the most part, Pascal is just operating in the post. Teams are being super physical with him. And defenses, I mean, the referees are just letting it happen, which is, you know, whatever. Honestly, that's probably what's going to happen in the playoffs. So, when that happens, you know, Pascal's forced to change a shot, and the strength isn't quite there. The touch for him, you know, it's been tough. He's already taking pretty difficult shots, so it's hard to say. It's just a lack of touch. We saw last year that Pascal was a really good player in terms of his finishing around the rim with his touch, but just of late, it has not really been there for him. And, you know, it's just the rest of it is just a perimeter game. This is not quite there. For him to attack and get all the way to the basket, you never see that happen. You never do it. I mean, obviously, defenses are keying in on him, and anybody going straight to the basket at 6'9" is a breakdown. But at the same time, you're not seeing him, you know, shake his man off the perimeter and then get inside for a dunk. You're not seeing that. you know, when he even gets in the post against some of the smaller guys now, he's leaving a couple layups short. He had an opportunity against Jamal Murray where, you know, post up, spin right at the rim, left it right on the rim. An opportunity late in the game where maybe the Raptors are already done at this point, but still, Pascal goes down the lane, Jokic is there. You think Pascal's going to take off and dunk on this guy. Not even poster him, but just like go up strong and finish. But Pascal goes in for a layup, he misses it, gets the rebound, goes up for a layup, misses it, and it's just like, you know, it's frustrating to see. And then the face-up game, you know, the jumper is just, it's inconsistent. Like, you know, he was 1-for-7 today. And, you know, it's not even necessarily the 1-for-7 from three that's so bad. There was one attempt that he had from mid-range where he kind of had the bat. He saw the defender laying off of him. He faced up. He took the jumper, and it hit, like, the side of the rim. And it was just, you know, it's just tough right now. It really is just tough right now. And, you know, you compound with the fact with, look, if you're going to draw double teams, you're going to play against physical defenses, at least you would think you get a lot of assists or you get a lot of free throws. At least that's, you know, generally speaking, the next step for a superstar to get to is to get to those points where if, you know, defenses are keen to take you away, can you sort of distribute that attention and make everyone else better? That's what Jokic did tonight. That's why the Nuggets had 133 points. That also wasn't quite there. Again, only 4 free throw attempts and 5 assists in 40 minutes. Look, it's going to be a learning process for Pascal. This whole season is a learning process for Pascal. I said a lot early in the season. You know, during the season, you kind of get swept up in the results and the wins and stuff like that. Everything is great. But at the same time, a lot of this year is about development. It's about how much better can these guys get. And in particular, it's about how much better Pascal can get. And we saw him at the start of the year when defenses didn't quite know what to do with him, when they were covering him single coverage a lot more. Pascal was able to get what he wanted. He was able to be at a superstar level. But there's difficulties to that. You don't just become a superstar overnight. It's not like that. It's not like a LeBron or a Zion or a Luka situation. Pascal is not one of those guys. Pascal needs to be one of those guys that develops and gets his teeth cut and just keeps going and keeps coming back, gets stopped, and then learns how to adapt and keep going like that. Because, you know, these games are going to happen, man. It's all a learning process. What we're seeing right now is growing pains from Pascal. You know, this is just what happens to you. Life as the number one guy is not that fun, to be honest. Like, yeah, you got all these shots and stuff, but you got all the responsibility as well. And when you lose a game like this, when you're outplayed by another team that has a superstar, you're like, you know, it becomes kind of clear. And people are going to, like, be upset, and people are going to turn on you a little bit. Look, man, he did not play well enough to be a number one guy to win tonight, just like he didn't play well enough to be a number one guy to win against Charlotte, just like he wasn't number one guy to play against Milwaukee. Does that mean he can't get to that level? Of course not. We've seen it this year. There's been a handful of games this year where Pascal's really stepped up to it. But it's that consistency that has to get there. And it's also just, like, he needs to get better with his overall skill set. And that's where you're reminded of the fact that it's a development process, right? You know, this ascent for Pascal has been really fast, and it sort of made you think and believe that everything can be possible. And I guess it is. But at the same time, you're not just going to get there overnight. You're really not, man. And what I hope is that Pascal takes opportunities like this, games like this, and he sort of learns from that. You know, I think he has a pretty good idea based on his post-game quotes and everything like that, where he needs to improve. I think the team has a pretty good idea of how they need to use him better. We see Nick Nurse talk about the fact that you got to force feed Pascal because you need to get him more reps because he needs to get better as a one-on-one guy, as a main guy. And, you know, we're seeing that his teammates trust him. There was one play where, you know, OG was having an amazing game, and OG was in the post, and he had position, and he had a hot hand, and Pascal's on the perimeter, and, you know, Pascal looked at him. He's like, yo, get out the way. I want to attack. And OG cleared out because, you know what? Pascal was still that dude. You know, on a rough night where Pascal's missing everything and OG's, you know, having a career night, doesn't really matter, man. He's still that dude. And so his teammates understand. They respect him. But, yeah, he needs to get there. You know what I mean? Right now, I think what we're kind of seeing is that a lot of nights he's not there. And today he was not there. And I don't think there's any shame in saying that. I don't think it's like, you know, shit he can't hear or anything like that. First off, I'm sure he's not even fucking listening to something like this. But, you know, I think when he reflects on a game like this, when he thinks about a game like this, you know, it's going to make him tougher. It's going to make him better. And if he responds the right way, if he keeps improving, whether that's over the course of this season or in the off season or beyond or whatever, that's how ultimately Pascal's going to get better. And that's how ultimately the Raptors going to get better. But yeah, Pascal was just not good enough today. And it exposed a lot of his limitations. in terms of the positives from this game, OG Anunoby, holy shit. The only reason the Raptors are even competitive in this game. Sorry, I don't know why I'm swearing so much today. But the only reason the Raptors are even competitive for most of this game was because OG Anunoby played out of his, you know, bleeping mind. Like, oh my God. First off, OG's had an up and down season too. It's not as pronounced because Pascal is the number one guy. Life is different for a number one guy as compared to OG, who, you know, most nights fifth option for the Raptors when they're fully healthy. But yeah, tonight, holy crap. This really goes to show the kind of potential OG has. 32 points tonight with 7 steals. 7. He's the first player in Raptors history to have back-to-back games with 6-plus steals. He had 6 against the Charlotte Hornets, and I thought he was their best player. He got the number one star. And today, he's getting number one star again. You know, spoiler alert, but yeah, 7 steals, man. I mean, OG was just everywhere defensively. And to be honest, OG was the only guy who actually played above his capabilities defensively tonight. Look, I know the Raptors are shorthanded and stuff, but 133 points and allowing the Nuggets to shoot like above 55% all game, you know. Still, that is just kind of below the Raptors. But yeah, OG was really good tonight defensively. In the first half, nobody could stop Jokic. I'm not saying OG could stop Jokic either, but there were 3 plays where Jokic received a post-entry pass, and either OG broke up that pass or swatted it out of Jokic's hands and took it the length of the floor for a dunk. 3 times in 1 half. That's some Kawhi Leonard stuff right there. That's some young Kawhi defensive player, the year-level stuff right there. And look, that comparison gets thrown out there all the time. Every time it happens, I like to say that, you know, just be careful. That's a lot to put on a guy. Today, totally appropriate, bro. This was a Kawhi-esque performance from OG tonight. He was incredible. His confidence was really high, you know. He, you know, just no hesitation on 2 wing threes, the dunks, the finishes, you know, leaking on transition, catching out leaps and stuff. OG was great, and he had what I thought was the KFC play of the game, where Pascal, they were guarding a baseline inbound. The Nuggets, you know, perimeter guys couldn't get open. They were trying to throw it to the center out top, basically the last option. Pascal reads it, jumps backwards, tips it from, you know, Mason Plumlee's hands, and the ball's rolling out of bounds. OG dives out of bounds, throws the pass midair over his shoulder out in front to find Pascal streaking out for in transition for a dunk. And yeah, OG was just, you know, he played his heart out today. And this, again, a lot of the stuff OG can do on a nightly basis. I'm not saying he's going to be 32 points, 7 steals, and 7 rebounds. We're not saying that OG Anunoby is going to be Scottie Pippen or something. But, like, man, OG can do a lot of the stuff regularly in terms of just that activity defensively. Like, he is one of the best defenders in the NBA, period. We've seen it this year. We have seen it this year. He is, honestly, all defensive level. His versatility, the ability he has as a bigger player to hound perimeter guys. I mean, like, there's one play where he got called for a foul eventually. Jamal Murray tried to dribble at him. Jamal Murray, you know, is a big-time player, and he's on his home floor and whatever. You're not going to just harass him for 10 straight seconds and not get a foul call. But there was a play where OG defended, like, 3 guys and switched over to Jamal and then just, like, pressured the ball and just – It's great. And also just like his ability to just break up passes, whether that's dribble handoffs and things like that, intercept passing lanes, you know, his just defensibility is rare. And he's so strong for a guy guarding on the perimeter. But it's the stuff offensively he can do more. Like, the one thing that I thought was really promising when I was offensing him today is that he went back to the post up, which, you know, early in the season, he did a lot more posting up because, you know, Marc Gasol was out there to space the floor. And, you know, Marc Gasol's out there to distribute and sort of, you know, allow OG to cut off the ball, maybe get a mismatch off a switch, and then throw the ball, you know, high-low pass down into the post. But OG was able to get in the post against Jamal Murray and just, like, bully him, you know? Like, he's strong. He's really strong. And that's where the next step for OG might be. If he's going to be more than just a 3-and-D player, is that, you know, OG can create more of his own offense if he's going down into the post. I mean, if you look at the trajectory that Pascal went on, these guys are very different players. But, you know, if you go look at the trajectory Pascal went on, he really made a name for himself and he really became somebody when he started going into the post and when he made that post-up move a consistent part of his package. And OG doesn't really have, like, the quickness and, you know, just the ability to move the way that Pascal doesn't have the fluidity, but he has the strength that Pascal currently lacks. And OG can just straight up, like, he has a lot of guards on him. Again, he's the fifth option. Most times, defenses are stashing someone bad on him. And OG can just really take those guys down in the post and just basically put them under the rim. They're probably not going to help. And yeah, it's just one thing where the Raptors can look for more, but he was phenomenal today, man. Wow. Like, it was eye-opening, honestly. Like, and the way he was just keeping the Raptors in it was crazy. What was great is that he also hit a bunch of his free throws, which is nice because OG definitely had some issues with his free throws early in the year. Tonight, he shot 5-of-5 from the free throw line. You know, again, it's a minor thing, but for OG, that's a bit of an improvement. And overall, you know, it's just... You know, it is what it is with a game like this. It really is. Oh, actually, one more guy that I wanted to mention that was positive was Norman Powell. I think with Norm, this game says a lot about his improvements on the season because he only made one three-pointer. He shot 1-of-6 from three, and yet he still had an efficient 24 points on 9-of-17 shooting, including 5-of-6 from the free throw line. Why is this important? Well, I mean, like, early in the season, when you looked at Norm, you're like, I'm not sure if this is a real improvement or if it's a situation where he's just hot and, you know, he's hitting some shots. You know, because there were a lot of games where he would come in, he would bang like five threes, and all of a sudden he's at 20 points, and you're like, wow, what a great game. But, you know, is he able to do this consistently? Well, this is a game where he doesn't even shoot the three well, and he's still scoring, and he's still giving you 20. He's giving you 24, to be exact, his jersey number. But... yeah, I think what it speaks to is the improvements in his finishing ability. If you watch all nine baskets from Norman Powell made today, a lot of those were driving to the rim. But, you know, early in his career, he was kind of like a Terrence Davis type, would just go straight to the basket, try to jump over guys, try to dunk through guys. He has a bit of strength, maybe go into the body and try to finish over the contact, whatever. And what it led to was below average numbers in terms of finishing at the rim. His efficiency there was not as good. This year, he's shooting a career best in terms of within the restricted area in terms of percentage. And if you look at it today, it's not a surprise. Look at how he's doing it. He's playing entirely differently than he did before. The subtlety that he has in terms of finishing around the basket, whether that's, you know, going to the Euro step in transition, you know, to sort of avoid the contact or at least get himself an angle, whether he's taking an extra dribble to sort of change the angle in which he's finishing at the basket, whether he's sort of doing a hop step and, again, avoiding the defender and trying to get, you know, that extra, you know, degree of freedom to sort of get to the rim, or, you know, when he drives baseline, going in reverse and avoiding the contact. And it's not saying he's finishing soft. He's not doing that. What he's doing is he's being smarter about how he's getting his shot off. And there's more subtlety to it. There's more patience to it. There's more maturity. And here's the thing. The great thing is Norman Powell has always been able to get to the rim. Always. Always. As since he was a rookie, he's been able to get to the rim. He has a good handle in terms of creating a shot, and he can get there. But, you know, it's that finishing that's always been a little disappointing for him. And of late, it's just been really good. Today, he was really good. And, you know, the thing is, he's developing more moves. Like, he'll come off the pick and roll now. He did it against Charlotte, where he had this, like, very impressive flicking one-handed rainbow shot from the elbow area. Today, he drove in a little deeper, but still had this little floater game going for him. And if he can hit that too and become more sophisticated in terms of that, then yeah, why can't he be a guy who, when he scores 20 points, you're not surprised? Because the thing is, he can shoot threes too, you know. Like, he is a good catch and shoot three-point shooter. I mean, he was 1-for-6 today. But, you know, he hit four threes against Charlotte. He's been above 40% on this season. He can do that. And so he's good for probably like 2 to 3 threes a night. And then you throw in the added finishes, whether that's in transition, whether that's off a broken play, whether that's, you know, increasingly he can even tack a set defense off a high screen and finish. That stuff's really important. And the Raptors this year, they could use all the help they can get offensively. And so seeing Norman Powell to play the way he is very encouraging. I think when Marcus Gasol inevitably gets back, that's going to be even better because Norm and Mark have always had really good chemistry. Dating back to, you know, when Mark joined the team last year, they had an instant chemistry off the bench in those, you know, handful of games where OG or Mark played off the bench with Norm. And so the ball movement obviously is better. The spacing is better. So I'm just encouraged by Norm's play. Again, he didn't even shoot the three that well. He still had 24 points. It was still efficient. He got to the free throw line. This year's about development, all right? And, you know, in that front, there were 2-for-3. Norm's doing it. Norm's probably the most improved player on the team, to be honest. And there's a lot of guys who have improved. But Norm's doing it. OG did it today. And it's just disappointing that Pascal couldn't do it. But again, learning lessons, you know? It is what it is. Again, they were on the road against Denver Nuggets. And again, man, like, they didn't even have a center. Like, how were you going to really expect it to do anything against this team in this current state? It's just, it was always going to be an uphill battle. Jokic today had 23 points, 18 rebounds, 11 assists on 8 of 11 shooting with 7 of 9 from the free throw line. Only 2 turnovers. Like, bruh. I don't know, man. That's what happens when you try to guard him without a center. There's one play that I had a screen grabbed, and if you go on my Twitter account, at William_Lou, you can find it. But there's one play where the Raptors had all 5 guys around Jokic in the post. And guess what? Jokic still scored on that possession because he got fouled on a shooting on a putback, and he drained both free throws. And, you know, Jokic is amazing. Again, we just need some centers, man. And this is where, you know, the lack of third string center, they've had it. You know, as a third stringer, Chris Boucher, not that bad. But when you actually need him to play important extended minutes, the man gives you 4 fouls in 9 minutes. You know, he's letting people cut back door. The awareness isn't there. He's driving in transition and throwing a pass directly into a turnover that leads directly into a layup. It's hard to trust that. And beyond that, it's Rondae Hollis-Jefferson playing out of position at 5. Like, yo, that's not his position. This guy's showing you a lot of heart by playing this in the first place, but that's not his position. So it's tough, but it is what it is. So in terms of your 3 stars tonight, I'm giving the first star, obviously, OG Anunoby. 32 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 7 steals on 12 of 16 shooting. 3 of 6 from deep, which means he shot 9 of 10 from the 2-point range. Holy shit. And 5 of 5 from the free throw line. OG was phenomenal tonight. I can't believe it. If you just go watch OG Anunoby's highlight package from this game. This is incredible. Second star, I'm giving that to Norman Powell. 24 points, 6 rebounds. 1 block, 9 of 17 shooting from the field. 40 minutes, by the way, for Norm Powell in his second game back from injury on the road. Not ideal. Not ideal. The bench definitely is not providing enough right now in their current state. But yeah, Norm Powell, 24 points, 9 of 17 shooting, 1-3, but he does shoot 5 of 6 from 3. And again, the efficiency and everything like that, he's playing really well. And then your third star, you know, I'll give it to Kyle. He fought. He scrapped. Wasn't the greatest game from Kyle. He shot 17 points on 4 of 14 shooting. But, you know, he did his little Kyle Lowry's things, and he got to the free throw line 7 times. And that sort of made up for the fact that he didn't shoot that well from 3. But he had 5 rebounds, 8 assists. He fought hard. He scrapped. He battled. You know, whatever. It's not an exceptional Kyle Lowry game. But objectively speaking, he was their third best player tonight. In terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, that's got to go to Torrey Craig. Oh, my God. This guy came off the bench and had 17 points in 16 minutes on 7-11 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3. The 3-3s really kill you because he's a 32% three-point shooter. And really, it's kind of the combined combo of Torrey Craig and Jeremy Grant. Those two guys are the guys who, if you look at the rest of the talent on that team, in the starting lineup, Gary Harris can do some things, although he's having a down year. He had a good game today. Jamal Murray can definitely do some things. Nikola Jokic is a star. Will Barton is a pretty good scorer. The guy you leave open is Jeremy Grant, and he was really good tonight. He's having a pretty good season on the whole, and he's a big reason why the Nuggets are good. It's a great add from the OKC Thunder, but yeah, when you have Grant, who's objectively speaking the fifth option, and also Craig, who is not a scorer, combined for 33 points, you're toast. That's it. So maybe they can share it. I don't know. But yeah, that does it for the podcast. One service note, if you haven't already, the Raptors Everything Live call-in show has changed times. It's no longer Friday afternoon to 3:30. It is going to be Monday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern time, where me and Josh will take your calls on the Raptors. You can watch live on the Iowa Sports Canada YouTube page there. If you can't actually call in that you know, hour-ish that we go live, what you can do is leave us a message at the Yahoo Sports Canada Instagram page, direct message us, leave us a voice note, whether that's, you know, a question, whether that's a comment, whether that's a hot take, whatever you want. I'm sure you have some thoughts after tonight's game. Go to the Yahoo Sports Canada Instagram page, leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the show. So thanks everyone for listening. Again, it's unfortunate that they lost. It's understandable that they lost, but, you know, really the whole thing from this game is just, OG was amazing, and Pascal needs to be amazing too. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the podcast. And I'll be back, I guess, on Monday. Give us a call, you know?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.